Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to each and every day our dialogue and discussion together about the issue of the day. We'll be talking about today, have we lost a biblical worldview? Or if you put it in the positive, we have lost a biblical worldview. What is a biblical worldview? Should we be concerned about that? Should we be concerned about the devolution of society, that is the spiraling downward of society, where we're finding fewer and fewer with a biblical worldview, and as a result of that, we're introducing chaos and confusion in society. We're introducing all kinds of demonic activities in society today as a result of the loss of the biblical worldview. We'll talk about that today. What is the biblical worldview? What are some of the results of no longer having the majority of society with a biblical worldview, and where we're headed in society and in our nation and around the globe? We'll be discussing that today in as much detail as possible with the time allotted for us to do so. It'd take about 8 or 10 hours to do the proper job on what I'm wanting to do today and this broadcast, but I invite you to join with us in the dialogue and discussion. You can do so by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917, that's your telephone number that gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of today. As we face these issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible, the truth book, as I like to refer to it. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you, as you seek truth, want to find out about truth, find it in the word of God. God's word gives us the platform and the approach to finding truth and what we should do about truth and how we should respond to it in our lives. We're living in a society, however, where truth is no longer sought, where truth is laughed at, mocked at, rejected, demeaned, and refused in most of society today. And you see the percentage of those that are disavowing, disallowing, and dissing truth, you'll find that same percentage as we find the plummeting of a biblical worldview in America and around the world. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We live in that era today, ladies and gentlemen. We live in that society today where truth is not sought after. Truth is demeaned and rejected. Right is called wrong. Wrong is called right. And that's going back to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, where it says in the scripture that one day that's where we'll be. We're there today. We're on target with that time frame based on the authority of the Word of God. This is the reason I like to go back to the saying of a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And I encourage you each and every day on this broadcast to do that very thing, to listen to the truth, learn the truth, look for the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, even if it means standing alone and standing in defiance of what others may say or the majority might challenge you to do so. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, during my lifetime and your lifetime, before the rapture of the church takes place, I believe we're going to witness a major devolution, a destruction, and a decline of truth in America to the point where our lives will be called upon if we stand on and stand for truth. There's a movement around the globe today to reject anything that's called truth about the so-called COVID vaccination and what COVID is for and what it's doing. It's literally depopulating the globe. And it's Bill Gates and others that have advocated that we need to depopulate the globe, decrease the number of people on the face of the globe by about 1 billion people, by about 1 billion people. Those are the words by Bill Gates. George Soros is behind some of that. We find those are the high-tech people today with that mindset. Somehow, some way, we've got to depopulate the Earth so that we can protect Mother Earth. But, ladies and gentlemen, if we destroy humanity, what's the Earth for? God created the Earth and placed man on it. It is God's place for man to thrive. It's God's place for man to survive. It's God's place, that is the world that he's placed us in, that we might marry, have children, that we might replenish the world, that we might train our sons and daughters to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to honor him in and through their lives. But if we have no globe, we have no people, what's the purpose of the globe, the world? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment that they sell to the generators, the Honda generators. They can answer all of your questions, ladies and gentlemen, about the professional lawn care equipment as well as for the homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Tools for Time is located at the beltway of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the essence of our broadcast today, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday, December the 12th. We will have a regular message on Sunday morning, a message that I believe would be riveting on the truth of who Jesus Christ is and why he came into the world the first time. And at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, right here at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'll have Jesus' birthday celebration. We've done that for about 35 years historically. And Jesus' birthday celebration, if you've never joined in a celebration like that, if you never participated, we invite you to do so. 5 o'clock, First Conservative Baptist Church, 1221 Old St. Augustine Road. Got a gigantic Christmas tree all decked out beautifully in our sanctuary. We will have the gifts that the families in the church will have brought and wrapped and put under the Christmas tree. We'll have the privilege of singing Happy Birthday to Jesus, cutting the birthday cake, Jesus' birthday cake, celebrating his first coming, and singing Christmas carols. During the course of the opening of the gifts, those gifts will be passed out to the congregation to open them and stand and talk about what's in that gift, who gave the gift, and how it can be used in the ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is Jesus' birthday celebration, the 35th annual celebration of Jesus' birthday here in our church. Looking forward to having you join with us. If you never participated, you've never been in a Jesus' birthday celebration, we invite you to do so. Become our guest. We'd love to have you 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon for that celebration. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we're talking about the question, have we lost a biblical worldview in America? Or we have lost a biblical worldview, however you'd want to couch it. So we need to ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, what is a biblical worldview? But if we look at America today, according to the Barna Report, now Barna does the annual religious survey. He is the main one that does the survey of religion in America, who is doing what in the religious circles, denominationally speaking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But let me just say this to you. In the Barna Report, Religion in America, he says that only 6% of the so-called Christians across all denominational lines, only 6% have or claim to have a biblical worldview. Also in the report, it reveals that only 4% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, hold a biblical worldview. And ladies and gentlemen, out of that 4% of the millennials that claim to have a biblical worldview, 57% of those believe that sodomite marriages are okay, believe that the LGBTQ agenda is okay, I believe that lying is all right if needed. They believe that the use of pot and other drugs is okay. It's all right to use them and still call yourself a Christian. et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, out of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 57% of the 4% that claim to have a biblical worldview really do not have a biblical worldview. And we analyzed and drilled down on the survey and the different parts and components of that survey by George Barner and the Barner Report. You find that 6% of the so-called Christian adults in America that claim to have a biblical worldview really do not. So we need to ask the question, ladies and gentlemen, what is a biblical worldview? I believe that the number one problem that we have in America today is the so-called Christian nation that we once were. We are no longer on high, if you please, high on the totem pole as being those that believe in the Bible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, and the shedding of his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. There are a lot of doubters, but yet claim to be saved, claim to love the Lord. There are a lot of folks that disbelieve, disavow the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. They said that God's word has errors, that God's word has contradictions, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd like for one person to show me a contradiction in the word of God, because in the context, it will usually explain itself in relationship to that. I'm not going to put on a piece of paper a verse or chapter and say God made an error, that here's an error there. Because that, and doing that, anybody that does that, you're saying, I'm smarter than God. I found where God made an error. God made a mistake. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says a biblical Christian worldview lost. Let me just read you some introductory remarks. That'll set the stage of where we're going today. At least 95% of the people who claim Christianity today have no clue what a Christian worldview is or should be, including myself for many years, this writer says. Let's take a look at a few scriptures and five major worldviews. You may be surprised how far you are from holding a biblical worldview. Worldview means how we view the world and how all facets of our lives should be totally surrendered to God's directions for control and the governing in all of the sphere of his creation. He then, and I'll not go through all of them, it's a 4 or 5 page massive, wonderfully written article. He says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40, we're clearly instructed that we must love the Lord our God with all the fiber of our being. He's paraphrasing it. Nothing reversed, nothing left out. Christ told us in John 14, 15, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. We're to study his word in order to renew our carnal minds that have been polluted by satanic teachings. And many false believers, many falsely believe our Christian view. 2 Timothy 2:15 and Romans 12, 1 and 2, it goes further and says, the word of God is to be our guide and our instruction book on how to govern our lives and all of society in every aspect. Nothing is left out. Nothing is left to our will or our desires. We should not trust our understanding. And he recites in Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7, wonderful text, lean not on that understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledging God, and he'll direct our paths, the scripture says. But he points out then, there's the biblical theism, that is God, originates with God in all spheres of government, family, church, and civil. Man's laws must, again, must align with God's divine law, and if it is to be valid. God's law is his word as written in the Holy Scriptures. Then you have the, quote, moderate Christian, that is the God-man is God. The New Testament, grace supersedes the Old Testament law and has little to contribute to modern political discussion other than the to encourage fairness and integrity. Public policy should be conducted according to the natural law, not God's law. That's the one that's the, quote, moderate Christian. Secular humanism, man is God. He goes into this in deep detail. Law is interpreted through judicial precedents and social mores, not fixed historical standards. There's no single basic basis of law for every climate or every society. Then he goes into socialism. The state is God. The state represents the people, provides for them, and oversees all areas of their life. The state owns all property on behalf of the people and distributes wealth and provision equally to all people. And it goes on and on and on with great detail about the economics of it, the education of each of these views. But there are five different worldviews, and the biblical worldview, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, is the least respected and accepted and held by the population in America today and those around the globe, a biblical worldview. I've called it, some have asked, well, you're a Calvinist or Arminian, where do you stand? I said, neither. What do you mean? You got to be one or the other. No, you don't. I'm a central biblicist. I believe what the Word of God says, notwithstanding anything that St. Augustine might have said or any of the other founding fathers of our Christian faith today. I don't adhere to any denominational standards. Simply, what does the Word of God say? It's not a matter of I'm a Baptist and I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible, and therefore I believe that Baptists happen to be a little closer to it. Now, some would disagree with that. That's fine. You can take a sign in front of our church where it says First Conservative Baptist Church and just put church. That's where I am. That's where I stand. It's having a central biblicist view. It is a biblical worldview. And I encourage you to analyze that and determine what kind of view do you have. One of the major problems we have today, ladies and gentlemen, that gets into the major declension of where we are morally, ethically, and biblically, spiritually today, is as a result of a decline of preaching, expository preaching in the pulpits in America today, because it's not taking the Word of God in the totality and exegeting that, explaining that, proclaiming that, and applying that from the pulpits in America. So I say that goes right back to the pulpit in America. That's the reason we've lost truth. That goes back to Jim DeMint, former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. I've got an article that says, DeMint warns America's decline linked to the death of truth. Truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, he wrote. In other words, what he is saying, ladies and gentlemen, is there's an idea somehow, some way, that I have truth and you have truth, and it doesn't matter because our facts may not align with your facts. We can take a stand on that and call it our truth. He goes further in the article. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is real or true. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm setting the stage for where I'm going today in relationship to what we see, and that is resulting from the fall from the biblical truth being taught, preached in our pulpits today, and as a lack or a result of having a lack of a biblical worldview. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm persuaded the reason for these dark days that we're in, that we're now living in, are in direct response to a lack of a biblical worldview. So, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of having no biblical worldview, human nature, as it would be called, or the natural man, as the scripture refers to it, the humanity will do or say or seek answers from any source that they can find. Seeking answers from the world, seeking answers from other sources that are beyond the realm of spirituality and Christianity, and multitudes are doing that today. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. In a moment, we'll get into some very serious deep water in relationship to what I want us to look at and understand what's caused us to be where we are today. It starts out with a lack, L-A-C-K, of a biblical worldview in the hearts and the lives of those that attend our churches, those that say that are members of our churches, those that say that they're Christian. They claim to claim to be Christian, but do not hold a biblical worldview. They are not central biblicist in their mindset and in their hearts with what they believe is Bible and truth. And it is, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, multitudes today seek answers for life via other means. It is my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, as a nation, we have turned our back on God. We've turned our back on God's word. We've turned our back on God's laws. We've turned our back on God's church. And today, God is mocked. God is ridiculed. God is made fun of. God is rejected. Truth is whatever a person may believe to be true. And I believe that is the juxtaposition, the mixture, if you will, the admixture, the recipe for bringing us to the point we are in America today, where we're living in a death culture, where the mindset is that through COVID-19 and the jab, where the governmental agencies around the world are wanting to use that as a eugenics program to depopulate the globe and not telling the people that is the case. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand where we are in America and what's causing us to be where we are today. You might wonder what's causing all the political agenda around the world to seek to force people to take the jab. What's causing Australia today to persecute the citizens in Australia? What's causing Italy and Austria and Germany and parts of America like the West Coast or the Left Coast and the East Coast to want to persecute and prosecute Christians today and conservatives today if you refuse to fall in line with their agenda? It is not a biblical worldview. It's not a biblical agenda. And yet we're expected to be forced into that mold and to bow and to bend and submit to that agenda. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call.
Good to hear from you today.
You are so right on about the truth. You know, the truth goes through three stages. At first, it's laughed at. Oh, you believe in Jesus one way, only way? What a fool you are. Then, it's just totally ignored. Like Susan Rice and the group up in Washington that's running the Capitol and running the Democratic Party, they believe that if you graduate from Harvard or a major league university, that you've got the truth. But the problem is they can't come to a consensus, so they're going to throw their hands up in the end and give it over to one man who says he's got the truth, and we know who that will be. But I just thank you, Dr. Youngblood, that you're sticking to the real truth, the biblical truth, and that in the end will give you the answer.
That in the end, Tom, is all that counts in time and eternity. That in the end is all that would that God holds us accountable and responsible for, is standing on the truth, and that is the truth of the Word of God. How do we handle the Word? What do we say about the Word? How do we respect the Word? How do we review or view the Word? Is it the authentic Word of God? Is it the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? And you're exactly right. We have devolved from that. We've left the truth. And as a result of that, we're finding the death culture that we're living in today. And one of the things, Tom, that we'll talk about in just a moment, as a result of the death culture, we're finding one of the major research words on a Bible research online app. The major word that's been researched in 2021 is the word sorcery and sorceries. And it literally is from the Greek word pharmakeia, and it's talking about drugs. We're going to talk about that in a moment, and that's what we're finding today, especially with the younger generation, the millennial reigning group in America and around the globe today. That's what they're seeking, answers through drugs, pharmakeia, sorceries, witchcraft, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a sad shame, but that's what we've devolved to. And it's because of the basic truth that I've just reviewed with our listeners today that we've left the Word of God. We've rejected the truth of the Word of God. We have demeaned and denied God's church, God's word, and God's laws. And so, Tom, you're exactly right, brother. But I challenge each of our listeners, just as you today, to keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I am absolutely rejoicing in the realization, the recognition that this old world is not the final answer. We know the end of the story. We read the last chapter of the book. We know that we win in the end. But, Tom, thank you so much, brother. God bless you for your call. I believe we have another call on the line. Give me a question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. How you doing today?
Great. I hope you are.
I'm doing well. God's made man's soul eternal there, and they're trying to fill that void with the secular world, and it's just not going to work. I got an email this morning, little Bible scripture there, that kind of hit me when you started talking about the biblical worldview, and this has to do with government and with church there. It basically, Proverbs 29:16 there, when the wicked are in authority, transgression increases, but the righteous will see the downfall of the wicked. And I don't, in my mind, that just means that those who have a heart and a mind and a soul for God there will see those errors and pray for those individuals and let our light shine to them and try to bring them out of that transgression and show them that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way.
Absolutely. You see, our responsibility is, regardless of the era we live in, regardless of the culture that we live in, we'd still be light in a darkened society. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. He didn't say, I want you to perhaps be or partially be. He says, you are. That is the charge. That is the command. That is the responsibility we have as Christians. And you talk about the text in Proverbs, I believe you said. I'm looking at another text in
29:16.
I'm looking at a text also in Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then in Proverbs 29, verse 2, which is a wonderful corollary with what you just said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And that's where we are in our nation today, and that's where we are around the globe. It is simply where the unrighteous are in control. And by the way, in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, it says there's coming a day when darkness will be light and light will be darkness, when truth will be called error and error will be called truth. And that's what we're finding today, that's promulgating the lawlessness in our nation, is because they are locking them up today, turning them out in the morning with no bonds for the most part. So we're seeing lawlessness absolutely escalate across the nation and around the globe.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Great. Well, brother, I'm thankful for your call. You're spot on with it. What do you think about, and I'm going to read the article and let you respond to it first, and then others can call in. I'm looking at an article that says, sorcery, most popular search for 2021 on Bible Gateway. The answer is one word, and it's not witchcraft. Jonathan Peterson recently wrote in Gateway's blog, the reason behind the satanic might be the most intriguing of all. CBN News has reported throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, witchcraft, sorcery, and the use of spells and tarot cards have become even more popular among young people, especially among the Gen Z and the millennials. But Peterson points to another reason, the increased interest in the Greek word pharmakeia, end quote. Quote, the increase in sorceries is related to the heightening interest in the Greek word pharmakeia, which according to the Mount's concise Greek English Dictionary of the New Testament means employment of drugs for any purpose, sorcery, magic, enchantments used according to Galatians 5:20 and other. The word pharmakeia appears in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians to be found in the Bible, Biblical New Testament, etc., etc. He goes on with it. And another article says that there were about, I believe, some 3 million searches of that word pharmakeia in the past 12 months and this year. In fact, here I'm looking at it. With nearly 3 million searches per day, more than 2,000 per minute around the clock being generated by tens of millions of people in more than 200 countries and territories in the last 12 months. Search trends of Bible Gateway offer an impressive impression of how people engage with the Bible in 2021. Why do you think, we've got just a couple of minutes for the top of the hour news break, why do you think there's a major interest in pharmakeia by some 3 million 2,000 per minute around the globe? Why do you think they're researching that word, that term?
Well, their pharmakeia, to me, it stems back to addiction. And an addiction is something that's going to take your soul away from the righteous path, the seeking of God there. God says, you know, you'll have no other gods before me. You know, I'm a jealous God. But when you seek outside of that there, trying to fill that void that's in your heart and in your soul, you're listening to an evil that is tempting you to another path. And I believe that whenever people are doing that, they're succumbing to their own human nature and trying to fill a void. And addiction in any form is a sin against, you know, a sin against God and a sin against your own self, your own body.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's a partial answer. It makes sense to me.
That's a partial answer. Continue to listen and invite others to join in, because we have some upcoming information that I believe would be intriguing, challenging, and condemnatory for our nation today and where we stand. I believe we have another caller on the line. Hang on. Don't hang up. We'll be right with you after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.